are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Our television audience across Africa, there in the United States of America, throughout Europe, we welcome you right from the capital of South Africa, Tswana. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. Today's going to be a special day. I know God loves you. I know God's got a great plan with your life. And right where you are, the presence of God will touch you. Don't flip the channel. I'm starting this morning to talk about two things that Satan steals from people. Number one, peace. And number two, joy. If you ain't got peace, you can't make right decisions. And if you don't have joy, you have no strength for the battle. So let's see what God wants to do this morning. I know it's Sunday morning and everybody says, let the Holy Ghost move only on Sunday nights. I say, no, God, move whenever you want to move. Okay, so somebody that's depressed this morning is going to get help. Somebody that's having nightmares, listen, is going to get help this morning. Somebody that's tortured by the devil is going to be helped. Somebody with suicidal thoughts are going to be helped this morning. Somebody that's not had a good night's sleep for years are going to be helped this morning. They're in Bloemfontein, they're in Durban, sitting in prison this morning. I want to tell you that God's not forgiven or given. Oh, I feel the anointing. I feel the presence of God. I feel God wanting to touch you this morning. You say, what kind of a church is this? We're a church that want a God encounter in Jesus' name. Some of you don't know what the future holds. Some of you are anxious about many things. Some of you have been fighting the same battle too long. And this morning, I believe God's going to bring peace to a troubled mind. He's going to still the troubled waters in your life. Let's read the word first. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Ever felt like God is asleep? The Bible says God doesn't sleep. He that keepeth thee neither slumbers nor sleeps. God's not on a journey. God is here this morning to help you and to deliver you. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Everybody say, there was a great calm. No, I said everybody. They're in Durban as well this morning. Okay, your pastor's preaching in Cape Town, so you're with me this morning. They're in Durban, say this morning, a great calm. And then over to Matthew chapter 14, a few verses. Verse number 22, the Bible says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat to go before him on the other side, and while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I want to tell you this morning, if you're alive, well, look, this is a little boat. You can't even fit two people on this boat, because that's what fellowship is, two fellows in one ship. Okay, so the boat was a little bit bigger than this. Both times, the disciples receive a word of the Lord. The one is, let's go over to the other side. And the second time, let's go over to the other side. I want to tell you this morning that God has a great destiny for you, a great dream for you, a great future for you. But there will always be opposition to your mission. Satan will oppose anything and everything that God has in mind for you to try and get you to disbelieve the promise that God has for you. You may be sitting here this morning and your boat is feeling rocked. Your marriage is being rocked. Your business is being rocked. Your emotions are being rocked. And yes, you are born again and it feels as if God is not helping you. I want to tell you this morning that God loves you and God cares about your situation. And I want to tell you this morning, when you go through difficult times in life, don't ever think you are the only one, because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is about to try you, as though something weird is happening to you. So storms, turbulent times are part of life. It happens to all of us. If you're married long enough, you'll go through turbulences like an airplane. Flew back from London this last week and we had turbulence. But I stayed in the, not in the boat, on the plane. And I kept my seatbelt fastened. And that's what some of you have to do. Don't run away from God, because your ship is not going down. You're not going to go under. You're going to go over. Come on, you are not going to drown. God is going to save you. God is going to deliver you. Oh, come on, somebody. God is going to help you. He has not forsaken you. He has not abandoned you. Shout amen and give him a praise. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things that have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So when things go wrong, don't think, "God, what am I doing wrong?" Sometimes we cause the storms ourselves. Sometimes other people cause the storms. Sometimes the devil causes storms. But I want you to know this morning, storms are life, are part of life. In James chapter 1, Jesus says, "Count it all joy when you encounter various trials." Now think about this for a moment. If you had a word from God, you would think that everything would be okay. I mean, this is the girl that you called me to marry. This is the business you called me to start. This is the nation you called me to live in. And now there are turbulent times. But we've done the first thing, not the only thing. We've done the first thing. We have prayed. Somebody say amen this morning. But now what do we have to do, South Africa? We have to put some feet to our prayers. Amen. We have to be the good Samaritan. We have to bring reformation. We have to bring restoration. We have to become part of the solution. We can't just put everything in God's hands and expect God to change everything. He's in heaven, we're on the earth. So Peter is sitting in the boat, and I mean, how's this for discernment? Just like some Christians, when people go through difficult times, they quickly lose discernment of the presence of God and the power of God and the promise of God. So Jesus comes to them in the fourth watch, not the first, not the second, not the third prayer meeting. In the fourth watch, just before the sun breaks through in the morning. And the disciples are so in distress in the middle of the boat, because whatever they do is not working. Ever been there? The harder you try, the more you stay in the same place. You've now planned, you've now schemed, you've worked harder, you've prayed harder, you've fasted, you've done everything, and you are still in the same place. And here comes Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I know some people are skeptic when it comes to God. They think God is some historical God, that you visit God in a museum and you call that museum a church. No, my dear friend. God is a present help in times of need. God is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God is a God who will never leave you, never forsake you. God is the keeper of your future. God is the deliverer of your soul. God is the healer of your brokenness. God is the repairer of the breach. God is a God with whom nothing is impossible. Oh, come on. Even the baby on the front row gets excited while adults are sitting as if they are dead. It was like the boat's going nowhere. It's just going nowhere. I'm working. I'm not in sin. I'm doing my part. And here comes Jesus. And they're afraid when deliverance comes, because it's not the way they expect it. And they cry out for fear, the Bible says. And they say, "It's a ghost." And Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I." Or he says, "Peace." And when he climbs in the boat, what happens? There is peace. I believe God wants to bring peace to many troubled people here today, here in Bloemfontein, in Johannesburg. I don't know what you are facing, but if you live long enough, you are going to face some things. I don't know who is against you, but if you live long enough, some people are going to be against you. People are going to say some nasty things about you. I don't know where you are, but I want you to know today that God is not, God, you're not alone, that God is with you. It may feel like Jesus is asleep, but I want to tell you this morning, he's not asleep. He's in control of your future. He's in control of your destiny in the midst of the stormy situation that you are facing right now. He says, "I am there. I am going to bring my shalom back into your life." Say amen this morning. So four things I want to highlight, because I want to get to where I believe God wants us to go in the midst of the storm. Four things that you should or should not do. Number one, you should remember the promise. Remember when Peter was in the boat and he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come." And what did Jesus say? In the storm, Jesus said, "Come." It may be economic turbulent times, and God says, "Expand your business." God says, cast the net on the other side. I don't care what the natural is, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved by what God's word says. 1 John 4, 5, verse 4, the Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory, even our faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. So the storms will always be there. The turbulences will always be there. But you need to be of good cheer, because God is with you. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, give the Lord a praise if you believe it this morning. Hallelujah. It's when Peter took his eyes off Jesus that he began to sink. I mean, he was building the business. He was in the marriage. He was in the situation. But when he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the turbulence, then he thought it's better to buy a ticket for New Zealand and migrate. You need to keep your eyes on the promise. Keep your eyes on the word. Keep your eyes on what Jesus said. If God said it, he meant it. You're not going to go under if you walk on the word of God. Sometimes we can bind the storms, but sometimes we just have to walk through the storm. And in this instance, Peter had to learn how to walk in the storm. We just want everything to stop. God sometimes says, no, I'll be with you in times of trouble. I will be with you in the lion's den. I will be with you in the fiery furnace. I'll teach you to walk even in the midst of storms and in the midst of opposition. Otherwise, you are going to learn to resign yourself to defeat every time opposition comes. So notice, Jesus didn't first calm the storm and then say to Peter, come. In the midst of the storm, he said to Peter, get out of the boat and begin to walk. So Peter was walking on the storm. You can walk in the storm. You can walk in the most difficult times of your life. You can walk when there's opposition. You can put your head down and push stronger into the winds of adversity. Come on. When the winds blow stronger, you put your head down and you walk with more resilience. You walk with more focus. You walk the walk of faith. You keep on believing what God promised. You hold fast to a good confession. You declare, I will not go under, but I will go over. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, I'm going up. I'm not going down. I'm going over. I'm not going under. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus. You can believe it. So the first thing is, you need to remember the word like Abraham. Second thing, and I'm going quickly because I want to get somewhere. Don't allow negative emotions to get the better of you. Oh, I mean, when Jesus came to the disciples, or when the storm came, both times the disciples were afraid. What's that? A negative emotion. Fear, false evidence appearing real. And in the first story, they lost their discernment, so much so that they cried out, it's a ghost, and it wasn't. It was Jesus. And the second time, they woke him up and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And if you actually go to the verses in Mark chapter 4, preceding that, Jesus was teaching on the power of the word. And he spoke about the three things that destroy the power of God's word in your life. And one of them are the cares of life. The deceitfulness of riches, lusts of other things. What are cares? Cares are things we are naturally concerned about, like the school bills, like the rent, like buying food. And they say, Lord, don't you care? If we allow cares to take a hold of us, it will choke the word of God out of us, because we begin to look at things in the natural. Like many people in South Africa, they say, yeah, I hear what you say, but you were not where I was. I wasn't where you were, and you were not where I was. But we both have to be on this journey, and we have to walk into the future that God has for us in the name of Jesus. People say, well, we have to understand one another. I don't know if we're ever going to understand one another, but we'll understand one another at the foot of the cross in Jesus' name. People say you have to walk around the glass and see where the other person is, okay? Really? Are you going to understand how it was for me as a white person to be raised in apartheid South Africa, being taught to be a racist? I never chose that. Thank you very much. You'd all agree that babies are not born racist, but the system intentionally made me a racist until I came to the foot of the cross and I had to be confronted with truth. And the truth is that my past was wrong. And the truth was I had a future in Christ. So you say, Pastor, I understand where you come from. No, you don't. You can only understand my life in Christ. I can only understand your life in Christ. We will find one another, not in our political background. We will find one another at the foot of the cross. That's why we need a revival. Oh, come on, somebody, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, I told pastors the other day, a little girl comes, say, she's 12 years old and she's been molested for 8 years. And pastors say, I understand, but your healing is at the foot of the cross. And I say to them, you don't understand. You've not been molested for 8 years. You didn't have your daddy walk into that room. That should have been your protector. And he molested you and he violated you. Now you say you understand. You cannot enter the place. But Jesus entered the place of our hurt. He entered the place of your oppression. He entered the place of your hurt so that you would not be bitter. I listened to somebody the other day. They say we have to walk around and try and understand one another from the other side, okay? Then I need, if I'm 53, you need 53 years to understand me. I need 23 years to understand you. If you're 23 years old, because I haven't found any young person that doesn't have the solution for the future of South Africa. Amen. But you talk to those that have gone through pain and those who have gone through struggle and those who have changed. And those like the Apostle Paul who chose the new life in Christ. I mean, when Paul came to Christ, everybody was afraid of Paul because he was a murderer. He was a persecutor. He killed the church. So Paul needed letters from people to say he's not that man he was anymore. But now we should go back and look at who Paul was before he got saved. No. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, come on, somebody. I need somebody to shout amen. Oh, give the Lord a praise for your salvation this morning in Jesus' name. We have a lot of storms in South Africa. But we're not going to see the storms healed outside of the person of Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. I don't care how great the politician, God never sent a politician to save the world. He sent a savior. And in this instance, the people needed to be saved. In a physical situation, but some people need to be saved from racism, from anger, from bitterness, from resentment, from vengeance. When Elijah allowed negative emotions to get the better of him, it was almost the end of his destiny. Don't let your emotions rule you. You walk by faith and not by sight. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. Not as many as are led by a certain political party. And I honor our president. I think we can give him a big hand clap for $28 billion, that investment that he has secured for South Africa. Come on, that's what we're talking about, a better South Africa. Jobs for all our people in South Africa. Stop criticizing and begin to pray in Jesus' name. Oh, some of you won't shout for Jesus no matter what I say because you're so full of anger. You just want to shout your hate. Hopefully God removes that from you today. Number three, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says, look unto Jesus. But I want to go a little bit further. The Bible says, consider him who endured such hostility, lest you become weary and discouraged. You know, when storms are caused by people, we want to get even. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like, you really got me. And then it's like, you want to plot and scheme your own deliverance. You're now going to get even. One of the things that will neutralize your faith quicker than anything else is bitterness in your heart. Bitterness that turns into resentment, that turns into anger. Don't lose yourself in the midst of the storm. Don't begin to rant and rave and allow your emotions to get the better of you. Don't lose your witness. I mean, these disciples lost themselves. They lost themselves emotionally. Suddenly a negative emotion. Jesus is in the boat and don't you care that we are perishing? Worst case scenario, blah, 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 blah. And he's in the boat as if Jesus will allow that. He's not going to allow you to go under. So you do not allow fear to get the better of you. You take those cares and you roll them upon the Lord. You cast your cares upon the Lord. Come on, and He will sustain you. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow will take care of itself. You don't worry about tomorrow. You pray about tomorrow. But when storms are caused by people like Paul had, I mean, people say, I want to be like Paul. Paul had a mob wait for him at the gate of every city. He wasn't the number one conference speaker. And if he was on social media, he would not be the preacher getting all the likes. He had to escape out of Jerusalem in a basket because people wanted to kill him. So when he talks about a messenger of Satan, it was somebody incited to oppose his mission, flesh and blood. Oh, we know the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but sometimes we make people the enemy. That pastor, that demon, or that deacon, or my wife, or my friend, we make people the target. And in making the people the target, we lose ourselves, because you're not an outer person, you're an inner person. When we die, we all die the same. When we bleed, we all bleed the same. When you lie in a hospital and you need blood, it doesn't matter who gave the blood. Whether the blood comes from Asia, whether the blood comes from Africa, whether the blood comes from Europe, it is blood that causes you to live. Come on. And the Bible says we all were made in the likeness and the image of God. God created humanity from one blood. Everybody, no matter what the color of their skin, the color of their eyes, they are your brother, they are your sister, they are your father, they are your mother. Stop the hate attack on one another and display the life of Christ. Become a lover of humanity. I need somebody to shout amen. I mean, if the church was the church, we'd have no problems in this country. But the church is segregated, politicized, color-coded. So most of our nonsense, the devil doesn't even have to help us with the nonsense. We've caused the mess ourselves. And we have to rectify it, not through one prayer meeting. Now, don't send me hate mail. I prayed yesterday as well. But you think one prayer meeting is going to change the whole of South Africa, you're sadly mistaken. You're going to have to get off your rusty, dusty, blessed assurance. Go help somebody that has nothing. Go educate somebody that has nothing. Go help the unemployed teenagers, the unemployed youth in our country. Put some love to your feet in the name of Jesus Christ and stop praying prayer just to preserve your life. Selah. That means think. And if you lie, I'm going to correct you. Because I never said we don't pray. I said we don't just pray. You can't pray and tomorrow you still oppress people at your workplace. You can't pray and still pray unfair wages. Now it's getting quiet. I'm losing the crowd. Because for the poor man, nothing has changed. Some people feel better, but the poor are still poor. And I need to be careful now, because I have a way to put my foot in it, and I really don't care. And people feel better because they sacrificed and sat in traffic for 7 hours. How about climbing in your car for 7 hours and helping the child that doesn't have a father, helping the orphan that doesn't have a father, feeding somebody that doesn't have, educating somebody that doesn't have an education, putting somebody through university. We talk about changing storms in our world. Let Jesus begin to work through us in the name of Jesus. And prayer is the starting point. We're a praying church. But otherwise, we could pray and say, God save the whole world. Just think about it. God is not willing that any should perish. So we can't ask God tomorrow this morning, say, Jesus, save the whole world. And tomorrow we wake up, the whole world is saved. He gave us the responsibility. We can't give Him the responsibility. He gave it to us. We have to preach. We have to feed. We have to clothe. Thank you. See, I thought I'm at home this morning. Better go preach somewhere where people actually believe the gospel I preach. Now, don't you go tweet and say, Pastor Art Bosov is against. Then you're a child of Satan. You understand that? Because he's a liar. John 8:44. You speak a lie, you speak of the devil. You imitate the devil. You are of your father, Jesus said it straight to the religious people. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Because when he speaks a lie, and they were all pious religious people. So don't go say, I said, I didn't say. Then we know it's Satan working through you, not the Holy Ghost. Amen. Next year, our theme is glory, and glory means goodness. Listen, we're not talking about gold dust falling out of heaven. Gold fillings. I'd rather have a new tooth than a gold filling. Because I'd go sell the gold filling and then pay the dentist. So we're not going to get all flaky when we talk about glory. Glory means we're going to go in a coma. No, glory means a demonstration of God's goodness to humanity. And that's what we will do after that building in Johannesburg. We are going to mobilize ourselves like never to change our world the way Jesus called us. Come on, can I have an amen at least? Oh, come on, somebody on the balcony, you closer to God, jump on your feet and shout amen. Hallelujah. Just want to say this to our church. Don't go back where you've come from. It's like some of you were free from racism, now you're right back there. What's up? Because you watch too much news. You listen to too many political leaders. So you're spitting the same hate and anger. Suddenly I'm white, but you followed me as your pastor for 10 years. Suddenly you have a problem that I'm white. But you had no problem when you came to church because you were colorblind. I'm never going to change. I'm not going to paint myself before I walk out on this platform. You receive me as a man of God or you don't. Full stop. End of discussion. You're not going to vote me out. Romans 12 verse 7 in the Bible says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is at all possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's why I say keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus had the power to overthrow the Roman government in a second. He could destroy everybody in a second that crucified him. I tell you, sometimes when people attack me, Pastor Jack sitting here, he's ex-military recce, specialized service, Pastor Andre, they know. Because I'll say to them, don't we have some unsaved Peter somewhere in the church? You know, Jesus never got his disciples totally saved. He left them. Peter still had his sword. Have you ever thought about that? So I said, no, I'll sanctify them just before they go to heaven. But let's just have some Peters. That's just a little joke, okay? It's just a ha-ha moment. I know you never feel like that. You're driving traffic. You never feel like, bless this brother. Or you never feel like that, amen? Or somebody does something and the next minute you just want to pull off next to the road. And it's like, okay, and like the dog catching the bus, what you gonna do with a fish on your car? And with a cross around your neck, what you gonna do? You caught the bus, and now? It's so easy to lose ourselves in the storms of life. And when you lose yourself, you lose your witness. You become like everybody else in the world in the midst of storms. And God says, no, you are different. You are imitators of God. You bless and you do not curse. You pray for those who despitefully use you. Come on. You go the extra mile with people. You turn the other cheek. Okay. And you say, Pastor, what after that? I don't know. Jesus just said, turn one cheek. Amen. It says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, I used to be a legalistic Christian thinking, that's it, that's it. Here comes the fire, the judgment of God. That's actually not what it means. When travelers came into the home out of the cold weather, the stormy weather, and they came into your home, they would put like a cloth with heated coals on the person's head to keep him warm, because you lose most heat out of your head. So he says, overcome people with goodness. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I mean, first time I heard Rick Godwin preach that must be 30 years ago, because I'm like maybe one of you. The rest of you are total angels, sanctified. I can see that. You can't relate to anything I'm saying here this morning. But I needed Jesus to save me. I need Jesus still today. When things happen and it's unjust and unfair, I think, let me get my hands on that person just for a moment. And then I'll even say, I don't even, God will mind. No, God will mind. God says, you get your hands on that person, like that brother who's a pastor here now. I don't know what he did that put him in prison for 70 years. But God said, no, I'm not going to destroy him. I'm not finished with him. I'm going to bless him. I'm not a hater. I'm a lover. Can we be lovers just like God? Can we put our lives in the hands of Jesus? Can we draw closer to Jesus in the most difficult times of our lives, when we want to rant and rave and throw a tantrum like the little girl that sat on the plane in front of me and destroyed my flight all the way from London? Can we be like that in the name of, not like that, I mean, can we be different? Because I love you, because love never fails. And I know what I'm talking about, because before I met Jesus, I was an angry man. I was a hater. I was a get equal person. I was, you do this to me, I'm going to do that to you tenfold over in Jesus' name. And Jesus came, and you know, some of the girls are nasty with you. You don't now gang up with your friends against that girl, etc. How are you ever going to get saved? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. Today, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for cleansing me in your precious blood. I'm whole. I'm yours. Forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.